podcast. Oh. Joining us today is Luis, the SD Goon. You can follow him on Twitter at SD Goon. Welcome, Luis, formerly known as Chilangooner.
That was a long time.
It's been a long time since you had that handle.
Formerly known for the OGs on Twitter.
For the OGs.
Formerly known as Goonerific.
What? Yeah, Goonerific. I'm trying to think when I knew you as Goonerific. I think the first time you were on the Pinecast maybe was right when you turned into the Chilangooner. Maybe? Right around then? It was one of the very first episodes.
I want to say it was still Goonerific.
I think it was right before the transition. That must have been it.
We've been on Twitter for a long time. So.
it's been a long, long time, folks.
Since 09, baby.
Oh, yeah, geez. Me too. Same with me.
Oh, geez. I don't know if I was 09 or if I was beginning of 2010. I don't remember.
I was February 09.
Dude, you were definitely probably like a year later, man.
A year later?
You were probably like a year later. At least.
Something like that. It was around then. Anyways, it's a pleasure to have you on. Joseph is here as well. Follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. It has been a pretty mellow week for Arsenal fans. It's not been too bad, you know. You beat the Orcs from Mordor and you handle business and things are kind of mellow. There's a bunch of shit going on. You know, the transfer window is open yet.
We'll get to all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get to all that fun stuff later. But we're going to start off with some of the more recent news. Particularly with the World Player of the Year being announced by FIFA. That's all I got. There was. You see Mario Balotelli's, his Vine that he did. Did you catch that making the rounds earlier?
No.
That was pretty good.
Oh, I know.
He did it this morning. He did it this morning while he was playing like FIFA at home with his friend or his brother or something, and he scored with Cristiano and then did it himself on his Vine. It was pretty entertaining. I will say, there's been a lot of good vines being made of him. There's him with the goats that scream, you know, done together. There's been quite a few good mashups.
That was good. The one I liked is the one on when they did the intro to Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, yep.
Yes, and they're doing that the doo 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 doo, and then
Yeah, that was certainly solid. So so Cristiano won his second consecutive and third overall Ballon d'Or, getting him closer to his idol Messi. and it was impressive. You know, I think it's fair. I think he rightfully won the award. You know, some will say, well, what the fuck does Manuel Neuer have to do to win it? But, you know, it is very tough for a goalkeeper. It's not exactly a flashy position. It's not a position that I think any of us would willingly play if we had any bit of our wits about ourselves. Right, Luis? Back me up here.
Has a goalkeeper ever won it?
I think so. Like 30, 40 years ago, something like that. I don't know. Goalkeeper won some big awards, but it's been forever. And it doesn't happen.
He can't feel that hard done by.
No. I mean, what goalkeeper expects to win the Ballon d'Or? They don't. They know it goes to, you know, it's a rarity when it goes. Well, one, when it went to Chiellini as a defender, because I believe he was the last defender to have won it. And I don't know who the fuck
Chiellini?
It was before that. Chiellini. I'm thinking Italian. Cannavaro.
Cannavaro, yeah.
Pardon That's me. 2006. Yeah. Well, no. Henri really got hosed by Pavel Nedved back in like 2003 or 2004. And then with Ronaldinho. It was him and Ronaldinho. And it was kind of like, well, it's kind of a toss-up. Ronaldinho was kind of amazing at that point. So.
Yeah, he was at the peak of his.
Yeah,
his,
when he got robbed was when Nedved won it, and he only scored like 14 goals or something that season. It was some shit. There was the numbers were way fucked up, and he got hosed that one year. The magical Thierry Henry, who is going to make his debut this weekend on Sky Sports covering the Arsenal City match. I hope that's enough motivation to get these motherfuckers ready to play, because you cannot embarrass Thierry on his first fucking day on air, and you got to go up there and lose like 6-3.
Like we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
We are getting way ahead of ourselves. Back to Cristiano.
Yes.
How do you feel about this? Joseph, tell me what you think. Where would you have – first off, did you agree with those top three players? And where would you have ranked them?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think I would have them any different, really. I think the way the voting was correct.
Yeah, I really
no controversy for me. So.
Yeah, I don't see much controversy with this. You know, I think it's pretty straightforward, and that's pretty, you know, coming from me, considering I have a kind of outward disdain for Cristiano. I think that's you know, saying something. So, Luis, where do you stand on this?
The only comment I have on the voting and the top three players themselves is a lot of it is carried by the success of the team itself, which these players play on. And true. I think that also had a bearing on the final outcome of who actually won the award. So it those three players, you could sit here and argue all night if they are the best three players in the world, and you'd probably still reach the same conclusion. So yeah, I think it was fair. I think it, especially considering the achievements of their respective teams and national teams, I think it was fair. Yeah.
Fair enough. So with that aside, considering we think it's fair that Cristiano scooped this award, and like I will say one thing, like, you know, we have to specify that for all these awards, the FIFA 11 as well as the Player of the Year are awards that are basically culminating last season. It's last season plus the summer tournament. That's why some people – we got some conversations on Twitter with a few people the other day. And the thing is that, like, well, voting begins to occur at the end of summer. It finishes by beginning of October. It's really a recap of the season prior and the summer as well. The World Cup, whenever it's a World Cup year, it weighs much heavier. So if you have a big World Cup, it always will, you know, count more than basically any other short span of games will. So that in mind, we saw a FIFA Pro 11 introduced. Some interesting names. Mm-hmm.
No surprises, to be honest.
No, not too many surprises. Joseph, do you have that list in front of you? Do you know who?
I do.
Who? Will you read that off for us and tell me?
We
who
have
think
Neuer really... in goal. We have Lahm, Luis, Ramos, Silva in the back four.
Three center backs and a full.
Yeah, three.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember being in that back four, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go on.
Iniesta, Cruz, Di Maria, Messi, Ronaldo, and Robin.
Right. So a lot of familiar names there.
Mm-hmm. You know,
a lot of big names, a lot of players from big clubs. And like, as to what you both have alluded to, you know, this one World Cup success makes a huge difference. Club success makes a huge difference. So you're likely to see players of, you know, it just make it, it follows logic that a lot of German players who won the World Cup, especially if they also double up with, you know, Bayern Munich, who won the league, right, and still went pretty far in Champions League, and players from Argentina.
They won the German Cup as well?
What was that? Yeah, yeah, they won the German Cup. Yep, yep. They swept everything else except for the Champions League.
Big years.
Mm-hmm. So those all together, as well as, you know, Argentinians. But it was an interesting inclusion of a few Brazilians, which I think we may get to cover here shortly. that, you know, that don't necessarily line up with the criteria, because the criteria we're talking about is like, all right, how was the club season? What do they do internationally? You know, because there's some people I think like, oh, Ibrahimovic had a really good season last year. Maybe he deserves to be the center forward. Well, guess what? He played in a playoff against Cristiano to get into the World Cup, and he fucking lost. He didn't even play in the World Cup. So that's a strike, you know, that's a strike against you. I'm sorry to say it really is. So
goes down as an incomplete.
It does. It does. And so there's a lot of other players. So like generally these 11s tend to reflect the players who excelled on both stages. And especially the World Cup just lends such a bigger influence to this overall that if you excelled there, it's something that you could, you know, likely have influenced these kind of decisions. Let's start. Well, Joseph, we'll start with you. What was the, give us who you thought in that 11 didn't deserve to be there.
And, oh, that's my favorite part.
All right. And then tell us. Your
all right. Who didn't belong there? Mr. Floppy Hair didn't belong there.
Sideshow?
Yeah. Sideshow Bob didn't belong there. I didn't think Thiago Silva belonged there.
No.
And I didn't think Iniesta belonged there anywhere near it.
I can't disagree with you there.
I mean, what did he win last year?
Right.
Right. I mean, his club team didn't win. His national team certainly didn't win. So I'm not exactly sure why he's there, other than it, you know, basically for, I don't know, lifetime achievement. I'm not exactly sure.
Recoding purposes.
You know, yeah. other than that, I mean, I think the rest of the team is pretty solid. I mean, I'm sure you could make arguments, but overall, I don't see a problem with anybody else.
I'll make I'm just gonna one counter to that, Joseph.
No,
Iniesta.
No. No.
Yes. Listen. So, Iniesta was like the one guy that was paddling as the boat was falling off the fucking cliff, both Spain and Barcelona wise. I love Iniesta. I think he's an awesome player. He's one of those guys that just never gives up on anything. And to me, his teams, both of his teams' underachievements, hurt his personal image, but his performances, and I don't think dropped off much.
I agree with you there. This is the important difference, though, because even though you say, look, if you said make a World 11 of the best players,
this would be a totally different list.
Like, Thiago Silva makes that list because he's in everyone's first 11. Like, if you're going to make a defensive central back pairing, most people put Thiago Silva as one of those two center backs. It's the majority.
To be fair, I didn't include Iniesta in mine, but
there is no argument.
But look, Iniesta has a fair argument to get into any midfield in the world. Yeah, no, you haven't made yours yet. No, we're going to get your replacements here in a second. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can make a case for any of these players to play, but we're basing it on a season. And like, and to what Joseph said earlier, it's like, what did Iniesta win last season? Like, it doesn't matter if you're great. Spain, you know, flunking out at the fucking first round of the World Cup is a huge disappointment. Not repeating is one thing. Like, we understand that. That's big and bad enough as it is. But who the fuck predicted Spain not making it out of their group? None of us did.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge failure, and that's why there are basically, you know, what there are two Spanish players in that entire 11. So.
Yeah,
you know, and Iniesta is the one that we argue against, and Sergio Ramos we don't argue against because he won the fucking Champions League. So, you know, like there's reason for that. So, you know, most other years has always been plenty more. So, all right, so Joseph, let's get to who you would replace those with.
All right, goalkeeper stays, Ramos stays, Lahm stays. Although, I guess we're keeping him as a right back, even though, you know, he didn't really play there.
He's right. That's fine.
I put Zabaleta in my team because he won his league, and he went to the finals, and that defense gave up very little goals during the World Cup.
So is Lahm playing left back now?
No, he's paying. Well, hell, if they include three center backs.
He plays left back also. He plays both fullback positions and central midfielder. So,
well, yes. Their lineup had three center backs. So I think I'm okay having kind of two right backs.
He was right. And correct me if I'm wrong. He played left back for Germany in 2006.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And then he cut in and scored that goal on his right. Right. Correct.
Correct.
All right. Is he left footed?
No, I think he's right footed.
He's right footed. But he was playing as an inverted.
But he's good enough with his left foot. Probably.
Yeah, no, he's fucking good. He's not quite Santi, but he's got good enough technique where you can be like, was that his natural foot or no? Which is impressive. If you can ever confuse people, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are those all of your changes? What are the changes?
My other change is Iniesta, obviously.
And who replaces Iniesta?
I put Schweinsteiger there.
Is it just the World Cup? I mean,
he missed a lot of the season.
He missed a lot of the season, and he missed part of the World Cup too. He didn't start every match because I considered him as well. But
he's more deserving than Iniesta to me, so that's why I put him there. I think that's all my changes.
Nothing along the front three?
No, it was hard for me to really justify taking any of them out. I mean, I thought about Robin, but I mean, they did get to the semifinals, and you know,
I believe the more Mexican people on this panel might have a different opinion.
Don't do it.
So let's mosey along.
I put them in there every day from now on for the rest.
Sure you put him in there, or did he accidentally fall, trip, and win his way into there?
Well, I mean, if they can have a diving, falling, bitching an Iniesta in there, then I suppose we could keep Robin.
Because
he's a fucking cunt. But we'll just move on.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna go to you.
That both applies to either one. Yes. So I'm confused. I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, no. So Luis, what do you think? Who in that 11 deserves to be axed, and who should replace them?
Well, obviously, David Luiz belongs nowhere near the best 11 in the world. I mean, if you go back and watch that 7-1 mauling by the Germans, the first three goals are purely on him and his terrible sense of positioning. I mean, he's a fun player to watch. He's a gifted athlete. But as far as a brain is concerned, I'm not sure if he has one. And if he does, what percentage of it functions while he's on a football pitch? But during that game, it highlights why Chelsea were happy to let him, you know, walk. Sure, they received a nice bounty for him, but I mean, he's a liability at his best, and I mean, he belongs nowhere near that. For my money, Silva was much better. He's a natural defender. He was the other center back in that mauling. But if you go back and watch the film.
So does he hold a spot?
Who, Silva?
Yeah, Silva.
Yes. To me, in the times I watched him for PSG, the times I've watched him for AC Milan in Brazil, he's solid. He's your ideal center back. He's strong. He does everything you'd want him to do. Luis, in my mind, has no place even near the best 11.
So you have right now? You have Luis out of that 11. Who else gets out of that 11?
I'm gonna say Iniesta, just because I have a personal kind of fanboy kind of. Man crush on Paul Pogba because of his style of play and his just
he's a fucking G
and his just overall genius is awesome to watch, and he's just to me every time I watch him the thing that goes through my head is this is who Abu Dhabi was supposed to become.
Yeah, that's this it's what he
was
been.
Supposed to be if he had bones that were made of like human marrow.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Glass or whatever they're made of. Anyway, my alternative 11 was Courtois. I really like the kid.
So you made an alternate 11? You didn't replace who you thought deserved it. You made a whole alternate 11?
No, man. I went completely off the handle here.
Okay. So okay. All right.
I'll just go down Courtois. Sabaleta, I guess, is not as unpopular as I thought it was. Ooh. But, I thought for quite a few years now he's a solid defender. He's versatile, too. He can play left back, right back. Going forward, he helps out a lot. Yeah. And, he's definitely – it was evident in the World Cup.
He's legitimately better than Sanya. Like, I kind of questioned that last year, and then I tried to look at it objectively watching the summer and stuff like that, and it's like Zabaleta is he's a really fucking good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, I think he's so Silva again, and you guys might like this one. Laurent Koscielny as my second center half.
Okay.
And Marcelo as my left back.
Get the fuck out of here. Marcelo.
Won the Champions League. scored in the Champions League final.
Also lost 7-1 in the World Cup. Should not correct some, they get some
part of that. So was Silva, but I have two players. I have two players kind of splitting time here. Hector Herrera.
Okay. I respect that.
Hector Herrera. He had a solid, if we are talking about last season and the World Cup.
Solid season at Porto.
He had a solid season for Porto. Once he finally got healthy and got on the field, he had a solid season for Porto, and he had an amazing World Cup. I think he was one of the breakout players in the World Cup.
Absolutely. And he's continuing it, right? I mean, I know I haven't seen anything about him like in the past few weeks, but I mean, it looked like he was having a good start to the season.
Yeah, he scored in the Champions League. He scored a stunner in the Champions League,
yeah,
actually, for Porto.
Yeah, that was the big thing. So we'll be seeing. That was good.
Yes. And Paul Pogba, again, my Man Crush Monday, or it's Thursday, but I'm fast-forwarding.
Sure, you're an FF.
Mesut Ozil, because despite being flung out on the left, still managed to make an impact and help Germany win.
I like
the World Cup.
I like the variety here. I like what you've done. You've gone out of the branch, and I respect it. So go on.
I have Toni Kroos, which he's in the FIFA 11, but he, to me, is one of the most complete players in the world. He plays wherever you ask him to. He can play the perfect pass, and he crosses the ball like no one in the world. And that was evident during the World Cup.
He also did that today. He also did it today for Sergio Ramos to score the first equalizer for Madrid, by the way. Go on.
Yes. So, no, I mean, very few people in the world can put in a set piece like he can. Alexis Sanchez, not so much for last season, but for what he's done and what he did in the World Cup for Chile and kind of cheating here, but throwing in his first few months at Arsenal.
He had a really good 2014, though. I mean, like, his back half of the campaign for Barcelona was really good. He also scored the goal that would have been the league winner against Atletico in that last match of the season. You know, like,
from a very tight angle.
You know, it's not his fault they fucking conceded the goal. He scored a fucking wonder goal. Like, that's like, he hasn't scored a goal that good yet for Arsenal, because that goal was fucking ridiculous.
He
spanked that from a tight angle. No, I mean, you remember that strike. That strike was fucking insane. Yeah. Tight angle outside of the box from that, you know, that's just like, true. I can't wait. He will score goals like that for us.
Yes.
But you know, that's one of those exceptional things that you're just like, wow, how the hell did he do that? Really impressive. Okay, so finish out your front three. Who else?
And rounding it out, number 9, Karim Benzema. Again, for the end of last season, which he was just in awesome form, and he had a solid World Cup. I think he bagged like 3 goals for France, and that's pretty much the players that stood out in my mind. But yeah, Benzema that has fallen off for sure this year. But I don't think he's scored.
So no Messi, no Cristiano, no Bale. Better than Bale.
I'm putting together the 11 that's going to go against that FIFA 11.
Just about right. Outside of Toni Kroos and Thiago Silva, we have an alternate 9, which is so. Yeah. I mean, that's fucking impressive. It's a good list. I would not argue with saying that team could beat the other, because, you know, chemistry means a lot. There's a lot of alternative factors. I'll get down to my omissions and changes. I did not have nearly as many. I approached it a little differently. I just kind of thought, like, where I thought they could have made a little bit of a difference. So I'm gonna make an argument, right? They did not put a left back in.
Mm-hmm. It was like 4 center backs, wasn't it?
3 center backs. And Philip Lahm, who plays everywhere. So for me, I'm going to take David Luiz out because David Luiz played for Chelsea, where they won nothing last season. Not one fucking thing. and then got sold for a ridiculously inflated price of like 50 million euros to PSG, which is great. That was his biggest accomplishment of the past year, was being sold for the record value. Nothing he did on the pitch. Now, let me temper this slightly. I am a David Luiz fan. I would take David Luiz at fucking Arsenal, which might you know, irk Luiz here. Because I really do rate him. I think he's a good footballer. I don't know that he's the best center back or that he's our solution right now. But, I mean, if you told me you could have David Luiz playing defensive midfielder for us over our current options, I'd probably take it. But that's beside the point. So he. But the thing is, I'm not – like, this is not a question about what we think about their talent and their technique and what they have. It's about what kind of season they had, what their form was, and all that. And I'm sorry, when your team wins fucking jack shit and you're part of the center back pairing that concedes 7 goals in the World Cup semifinal as the fucking home team, you don't get any fucking awards. I'm sorry. That's it. It doesn't happen. So you're out. Sorry, homie. Like, Sideshow Bob, Sideshow Mel's coming in for you. Get the fuck out. You know, it was nice knowing you. We'll see you at the Springfield State Penitentiary or whatever. So what I'm going to bring in for him, I'm going to bring in a fucking left back. Who also, but ironically, did not play left back in the World Cup. David Alaba of Bayern Munich, who is a very good fucking left back, but who plays center midfield for the Swiss national team. Mm-hmm. But he's a good fucking footballer, and he had a great season last year in which Bayern won everything but the Champions League. And when it comes to left backs, I don't really know who we can say who's better than him, so I'm going to go with David Alaba as my left back, coming in for David Luiz. And then as much as I love Thiago Silva, if you tell me to build a team, he is in there. He's in my first 11. It might even be, I just don't know how they complement each other as a partnership. I might like to see how they could figure out a Koscielny-Thiago Silva partnership. That sounds ridiculously nasty.
Yes.
But regardless, neither one of them had the best season this past year. In terms of what the team, because we said team success factors very largely into these types of decisions. So
yes,
so I'm going to take Thiago Silva out because look, he's still a fantastic defender, but and they won his league, but they didn't do it. He was defending when they fucking lost that game against Germany.
Yes,
and so we're going to go with someone who had a great fucking season last year. We're going to give some credit to someone from the. From Uruguay, Diego Godin, who was the stalwart at the back. Look, I really like Miranda. I thought it was a huge snub that Miranda did not go to the – look, that Miranda was not the fourth center back in Brazil for Brazil was ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. Because, look, Thiago Silva, I understand. David Luiz, I understand. Dante, I understand. They took four. I even forget who the fucking fourth was because he was useless.
Marquinhos? From Roma?
Was it Marquinhos? I don't think so. Marquinhos got a lot of promise. That's not who got taken over him. Someone like an Alex or someone like that. I'm sorry, but for me, Miranda, after leading Atletico to the La Liga title, deserved the call. But I will say, in terms of the overall performance, we had Diego Godin, who was really – he's the vocal leader at the back for Atletico. He's the main guy for them, and he handled it. They won La Liga, He played well for Uruguay, even though they didn't progress as far as they wanted. And he's the leader at the back for Atletico the whole season, had a great season. We saw again on display today how they did, with him, his leadership at the back. So I think Godin bears more on the season. Do I think Godin's the best defender in the fucking world? No way. No way at all. But you look at his organizational skills and what he's done, and then you look at the season and the body of work, and that's what we're gauging here. So Diego Godin, for me, gets into that 11. The rest, Philip Lahm stays. And then, we have what my center back partnership is. So we're good there.
No arguments so far.
So now we move on to midfield. Midfield, I do take exception to the Iniesta thing. I think Iniesta's a fantastic midfielder, and I think there's a perfectly valid case for him. I think he's a perfectly valid case
Suck
for
it,
him.
Joseph!
I think it's a perfectly valid case for him to be in any World 11 at any point, but this is also based on last season. And I'm sorry, Barcelona won nothing, okay? The only reason that Messi really deserves to even be in this is because he basically carried Argentina while his other mates, who still made an 11, like Angel Di Maria, and Kun Aguero should have if he hadn't been fucking hurt. You know, he carried that team to the final. So that's why he still makes it there. So
and almost through. Yeah.
Yeah, and almost through. And, you know, so Iniesta for me, I love Iniesta, but I'm sorry, your season, as great as it was, like Barcelona hold pretty fucking high expectations. They won jack shit. When was the last time we could say that? You know? It's a down year. This is not a year you're going to win something. So, sorry. For me, you're out.
Wow.
And that's, you know, that's where it's at. And I'm thinking, and I'm trying to decide exactly what I'm going to do with this. Because I've got a couple different directions in which I can go. Because I got a few people that I've got a little bit of query about. Because we have the front three. And the front three, I think, are fair. I think it's fair. Obviously, I think the Messi and Ronaldo are untouchable. The only one that's touchable is that douchebag, Arjen Robben. Was he good enough to be in the World 11 this season? I believe so. But is he in my World 11? Get the fuck out of here. I'm sorry. I hate him. The diving bastard, that counts as a strike against you. I'm sorry. That's it. You're a selfish prick. We know you're always going to go left. The problem is you're that good to where it's still that effective when he does it. Yes. Which is a bit ridiculous because he's able to do it over and over again and still cut into his left and still score those ridiculous goals. But you know what? I care about team chemistry, and I don't need more Dutch assholes who look like penises on my team because they're a bunch of fucking dicks. So I'm considering taking him out because that's going to be my 11. So I'm going to say first and foremost, Iniesta's out. I'm going to bring in a box-to-box midfield. I'm going to bring in Arturo Vidal.
There you go.
Won the league with Juve. Played well for Chile, coming back on short, you know, coming back quickly from an injury for Chile. As much as I'd love to put Alexis in there, you know, I'm not going to. But I'll give it to Arturo for now, for the midfield spot. And then I'm pulling one out. So what I'm debating, though, for the front three is either to go with another midfielder and move. I think Angel Di Maria deserves it. But he's played in the front three a large chunk of his career. Even though he played more than number 10 last season. You could still, you know, we can format this however we want. I can move him to my front three and get rid of Arjen Robben and bring another midfielder. So I've been debating. I was thinking about bringing in Javier Mascherano for Robben, but he's another kind of diving little bitch.
Yes.
So I don't know that I really want to reward him for that. I considered Luis Suarez because he was the Premier League Player of the Year last season. But guess what? Like we said, the World
Cup. I can't believe we haven't even talked about him.
But we said, you know, the thing is the World Cup weighs very heavily in this type of voting, right? It's a huge factor. It's the biggest factor out of anything that weighs the most. And what happened to him in the World Cup? He bit a motherfucker again.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Again. That's why you got left out of all these awards, Suarez, because you would have been there. So he's out. I thought about Ibra because of his good season. But guess what? He didn't make it to the World Cup. So fuck that. I'm out of there. Who I'm going to bring in is a man who should have won the best player of the tournament at the World Cup. Thomas Mueller. 5 goals and 3 assists in the World Cup. Should have won it ahead of Messi. Messi knew it himself in that final. And I'm going to have him replace Arjen Robben. So this guy who's got like 10 goals in 2 World Cups. So he had 5 goals and 3 assists. In Brazil, leading his team to victory, Thomas Mueller is going to replace Arjen Robben because he's another bald little bridesmaid that we don't need to talk about. And he will complement the rest of that front three with Cristiano and Messi. So beat that,
I'm definitely with the Mueller pick. He's, like, out of all the players in the world, he's probably the best candidate to beat closest – recently established record of
absolutely 18 goals. You scored 10,
I mean he's got what 10 goals already?
And he's like 25. How old is he? 24.
He's got at least another 2 World Cups in him, and you know he's just got to score 8 or 9 more goals. And,
yes.
Yeah. I mean he's not one of these guys that's gonna cross over on you and break your ankles.
No.
But he does not stop going, and he just finds himself in the most perfect positions. Every time. So, yeah, I'm definitely with that. I'm with that 100%.
All right. Well, I think we've spent enough time on these teams. There were only a couple other submissions from a few listeners. Some Weekend at Arsenal said he wanted Alaba and Hummels in. I don't see how Hummels makes it in per se, but you know, he did play for Germany and it's just, well, it wasn't a big season for BVB. So I can't really agree with that. The few of those that we're pushing for a few other players, but nothing too big. So let's move on. So this was great. Awards are always interesting. Ronaldo lets out weird grunts and you know, we have weird things to talk about and to celebrate. So that's fantastic. But let's move on to our beloved Arsenal because before we get to Arsenal, we got one last thing. I forgot this. No, it's cheery stuff. Now, one thing we have to talk about, because we were talking about these players from Real Madrid, they just lost, and I think it's a very important loss. It's a pertinent loss because they lost to Atletico Madrid 4-2 on aggregate, 2-2 today, with a double from Fernando motherfucking Torres, El Nino. Got scored in the first minute and the 47th minute.
Started. He's back.
Each fucking
El Nino
half.
Is back.
For the
10th time. He's back. He's back for good this time, guys. It's like he keeps leaving to the store, and then he's back. And he left to the store again, and now he's back.
Man.
Is he going to stay this time, though? Or is he going to leave to the store again?
You know, we're hoping he stays. I mean, it's one of those things. Look, I began to like Atletico when Fernando was there the first time around. You know, it was fun watching him there. I was a huge proponent. I was wishing that Arsene would sign him at that point. Then he went to Liverpool and looked like the world's best striker. And I was cursing Arsene for never signing him, even though we were linked with him for years and years and years. But, you know, at least today, finally, I can, without shame, root for him to do well. Expectations have been changed, right? What is a successful Fernando Torres now? Right? Like, what is successful? Joseph, what do you think would be a successful return from Fernando Torres for the rest of the season? He's already scored 2 goals. Or not.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Well, what do you think? What do you think?
That's a hot take. That's a fucking piping hot take.
Totally.
Did we lose him?
Oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm saying, what do you think about Fernando Torres? What do you think about his performance? Is he back?
Me?
Yeah, you, motherfucker. The other motherfucker ain't talking.
Yeah, he's asleep, I think.
I think so.
No, I think he... He'll play well. I mean, it depends what the expectations are.
No, but I ask you, what are realistic expectations for Fernando?
Nothing.
Nothing. No expectation. No.
If, look, and I almost guarantee you Simeone has put almost zero to very little pressure on him, and he knows that is the only way to really truly get the best out of him. If he plays with the expectations and the weight of trying to win the league, of trying to get us further in the championship.
We already saw what £50 million does to his back.
Exactly. So I'm almost sure that Simeone has thrust little to no expectations on him, which is the right thing to do.
I like what he's done. I really, really like what he's done because he threw him into the fire against them the last match. He had a mixed outing. Some people said he looked good out there. Other people talked shit, but In reality, it didn't matter because Atletico won 2-0, so it came off as a good outing regardless. And then he comes out and scores a double against Real Madrid, who were like his bogey team. Because look, Fernando was known for scoring against Barcelona, which he didn't do at the weekend. I mean, he only had a short appearance, but you know, he does not have a good scoring record against Real Madrid. I think he might have scored once ever before against Real. So for him to get a double in a game like this that knocks him out of the cup, that's fucking huge. Because if there's anyone who needs confidence, it's just like it is, you know, when you talk about certain players or certain teams or whatever and like what they really need, and it's like you don't need them having like the most fucked up game or the most setback because you know that they have fragile psyches, right? And he's a fragile kind of guy in that kind of way. So what's the best possible scenarios for him to get something to get his mojo back? And so this kind of scenario where he drops, you know, 2 goals, scoring in the first minute of the game, all of a sudden he's all lively and full of, you know, he had the perfect start to each half. He scored a goal within 90 seconds of each half, you know? Like, what can put you on a better high when you're playing other than to score immediately? That feeling you get after you score that goal is, you know, you start to feel like, you know, the confidence that flows through you and the way it plays, bounces come your way, things go the right way when shit happens like that, you know? It really makes a big difference. It's fucking crazy. I don't know what it is. Energy flow. Who knows what the fuck it is? But when you have that confidence, when things are going your way, it just continues in that similar fashion. So it was great for him. And
it was, yeah.
If you put temper,
you could see it. You could see his energy picked up. You know, he's playing with that little extra bounce.
And when you have something like this, where, you know, where, I don't know, like he's able to get his, you know, to get in and get his feet wet this way and be buoyed in that similar sense. It matters a lot. It makes a big difference in terms of, what you can do and what to expect from him.
Well, I think we should probably step back off the ledge on Torres. I mean, I know he had a good game today, but
isn't this what got us back off the ledge? I mean, we've been dangling over the edge for a long time.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe you're climbing yourself back up, but I don't think you got a good grip. I don't think he does either. I think if he chips in with 8 more goals between now and the end of the season, I think it's successful.
Absolutely.
What do you think they're expecting 10 goals from him, though, Joseph?
I think that's all they would expect from him. Yeah,
6 to 8 goals. 10 goals is success.
And if he gets on a run and you can really, you know, use him. But, I mean, they have options. So, I mean, Griezmann's playing really well on the left, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I really loved that signing from them at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it was great.
We would be happy with a second striker scoring 10 goals between now and the end of the season. And I think anything approaching that, they'll be ecstatic about. But between now and the end of the season, I'm not sure we have that.
Yeah.
You don't think Danny will bag 10 goals if he gets games here and there?
He should.
Well, if he can get
that. Is that 5?
Bump between now and the end of the season, that, right? It'd be great if he can be healthy, yeah.
How many goals does Danny have? 7 goals? 6 goals? He had a hat trick. Is he like 6 or 7?
Yeah.
I think it's 7, yeah.
Across all competitions. I know it's not Premier League. He had the hat trick in the Champions League, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see what that. Anyways, it's good to see Torres back. I mean, like, it's true. He's not back. He needs, of all people, needs a consistent run of producing like this, and he could actually redevelop himself into something useful. Realistic expectations are for him to come back and maybe contribute. If he contributes 10 goals in this half of season, that's fucking great. I mean, a 20-goal season striker is an expensive commodity. 20 goals is like 20 million, right? If you're of a decent age and you can score 20 goals in a season, you're worth 20 fucking million pounds, at least 20 million euros. Like, you know, right. They're a valuable asset. So
if you're English, you can add another 7, 8, 10, right. 15.
Add that. City will buy you and never play you. It could be great. So let's move on to our beloved Arsenal, because enough time about other forlorn and scorned lovers. Arsenal are coming into this match against City and on a bit of a decent run of form. Just having dispatched Stoke 3-0, some good goals. Alexis Sanchez proving that he is, you know, reinforcing the case that he is potentially the best player in the Premier League this season. Certainly, if not, at least very comfortably in the conversation.
He's in the conversation, for sure.
He's in the conversation of the top three. You know, the only thing, look, Aguero has been the class of the league for a while, but he's had injury issues. And that's the big thing holding him back. So I think outside of Aguero, you have guys like Sanchez. That's about it. I mean, who is it? Diego Costa's come in and has scored like a madman, so he's in the conversation. I think that's your three. That's your elite three right there. And it's between them. And, you know, it's no coincidence they're at the top of the scoring charts, the three of them. But Alexis Sanchez has been involved in the most goals, considering he's got the highest combined total between goals and assists. And, you know, we're seeing really good things from him. So at the very least, you can be very excited and happy about it, because what are your expectations for any player coming in on his very first season? Like, for no matter what the standards are, can you expect any player to come in and be the player of the season the very first year? I mean, those are high settings. You know, those are high standards to set.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If he can keep even 90% of this pace up for the rest of the season, it'd just be brilliant for us.
And I think I'm waiting for that kind of. I guess we're all just waiting to see, like, where does his is this his peak? Is he peaking, you know, early, or is he warming up? Is he gonna get even better? We're all kind of just kind of on the edge here, like, you know, with him. So I think once the season's a little bit further along and he's still kept this up, I think I'll be ready to say, yes, he's the best player in the Premier League.
He's certainly in the conversation. That's without a doubt. And it's good to have a player like that again. People have been comparing him with a few other stars and whatnot, and I think it's interesting to put it into perspective because, like, is he our Thierry Henry? No, not yet. Not yet. It takes a little time to develop that, but it's interesting by comparison because if you could swap this on today, you know, like for like would you swap an Alexis Sanchez for Robin Van Persie in the form he was? It's easy to say now as a scorned lover and all that afterwards, but, you know, in the form that he was in when he left, like, would you trade him for Alexis Sanchez? And I think I can actually say that without any regret. I could say yes, I would, because there's certain aspects. There's the work rate. There's, you know, there's what he does, you know, all around the pitch, and then, like, his character in general. Like, Van Persie has never been like the lovable, affable character as much as we may have liked to try to perceive him a certain way. He's always been an asshole, you know. Like,
yes,
like he's never been the favorite for a lot of reasons. He's always been a guy who polarized other people. Right now, we have a guy in Alexis Sanchez who everyone who supports every other team is like, man, we wish he had Alexis Sanchez in our team right now because he's fucking killing it. That's what I'm getting from Liverpool fans, from United fans, from Chelsea fans, from Barcelona fans. They're like, why the fuck did we give him up? You know, you have a guy like this. And it's refreshing. It's exciting. It's so much fun to have a player like that in your side. And I think it makes a big difference for us. And I honestly, this has been the most exciting. I think I can say without any remorse, and I can say something like, you know, Alexis Sanchez is the most exciting player I've seen play for us since Thierry Henry. You know, who's my favorite player since then? It's probably still Cesc, but exciting.
Ugh.
And best player. I know.
Not at him, at you for saying that.
Yeah, well, fuck me for that.
Yeah,
too,
but
I
it's
know.
True. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those things, you know? Like, I can't let go of that one quite yet. But, you know, it is what it is. We leave it be.
Yep.
But in that sense that, I mean, like, he is, you know, in terms of a player who can make something out of nothing, and you see the way he can create and do those things, like, he is the best thing we've had since Thierry. Yes. Yeah. You know, Robin Van Persie had magic in his boots and could do some shit that was pretty crazy. And he's got technical skill, but he never had that pace. He never had that, just like that crazy, like that, you know, there's like an intangible factor, this wild animal within Alexis Sanchez that is something that seems untamable. And that's fucking exciting. Cause when you have unpredictable talent, there's nothing better than it. Right. What was the best thing about watching Ronaldinho back in the day?
Just his unpredictability and his just, you didn't know what he was going to do. And I mean, sometimes you did when you were watching him run with the ball at his feet and you saw a defender kind of make a beeline towards him. Sometimes you knew he's going to shake him off. But when he had the ball at his feet and he was in that 10 hole, you didn't know, you know, but you knew that something special was going to happen.
Yeah,
and absolutely. With Alexis, that's the feeling. Like, you don't know when he receives the ball sometimes at the, you know, top left of the 18-yard box. You don't really know what he's going to do yet, but you know it's going to be good. And you know that it's either going to produce a shot from him and possibly a goal, or it's going to set something up for someone else.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always a chance of something magical, which is one of those things that you kind of miss, right? You know, like, we
–
you know, that's part of
same thing with Henry. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's part of the thing is that, like, when, you know, what, you know, for me and for many of us, for when we got involved with the club and what made you, so to speak, fall in love with the club, you know, watching Henry, watching Bergkamp, watching Pires, you would watch things that would take your breath away.
Well, I think, you know, with him, you get that feeling when he's taking up the position that we said is that I'm already edging towards the edge of my couch or my chair.
Absolutely.
You know, you're already kind of raising yourself to see if you're about to celebrate. I mean, even in that Stoke match early on, he almost curled one in early on in that mm-hmm. match. And I was already, you know, getting ready to stand up or jump up and celebrate, you know, and then that's something really exciting. And you guys are right. You can kind of feel that when he gets the ball.
And that's such a great excitement factor to have, you know, the way that mm-hmm. that weighs on you and the way when you're watching the match that you can feel that is a fantastic feeling, you know. It's something that, like, you know, when we haven't had that in the side, it feels like it takes something away from your experience, because part of the beauty of watching a side, and we've been spoiled. Like, everyone who complains about being an Arsenal fan and not winning trophies is like, you have players with like otherworldly talent playing for you week in, week out, every fucking year. And, you know, some years more than others, but we generally have been spoiled by having a player or two of this kind of caliber that can create something out of nothing and can take your breath away. And I'm so happy we have a guy like Alexis Sanchez, you know, because really he's giving us about everything that that Suarez would have without being the bitey racist. You know what I mean?
Like I said at the beginning of the year, he is the player that they needed. He is exactly the player they needed and they couldn't get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it works out. Like, yeah, you know, we paid a penance here and there because of our lackadaisical bullshit, and we probably would have won the fucking league if we had signed Suarez last season. But, you know.
Well, I mean, this time last year, we were all hoping for Draxler and,
yeah.
you know, to add on and to keep pushing through.
Right.
But if he comes, we don't get Alexis, you know.
I guess. I still think you got to
say something. That was where the money went.
Yeah.
And so it sucked last year because, hell, we were, you know.
Well, we're tired of pushing back. We want the fucking payoff. We want the fucking payoff. And now, once again, other issues come to the head because we're in the transfer season. Right now, we're going to get into the transfers for the Arsenal, what they can and cannot do. You know, we're in the middle of probably signing. There's probably a little poll in our medical facility
Not that little.
Well, maybe he's a big pole. Maybe he's a big pole between the sticks. I don't know.
He's a decent-sized pole, and at 17, he's going to get bigger.
I'll let Chesney measure it, and we can leave it there. Apparently, he's got a fan of phallic items.
Chesney, yeah. I hope he stays away from Chesney. We don't need any more smokers.
Oh, he'll be next to him.
Smokers and midnight tokers. That's all we're signing up.
No, we'll get a center back. I told you what our net spend would be last week. I wasn't lying.
I know you did. And so we're going to sign this kid. What are we supposed to sign this kid for?
Like $2 million.
Right, of course.
Like I said, about $2
million. Right. And then we're going to sign a center back, right? We'll see.
Center back.
Hilarious for many reasons. Not only because we were actually outbid by another club, but, I mean, paying $2 million for any player nowadays is just – it's funny. It's almost a free.
Well – almost just like playing for Arsenal, be fair, compared to where he plays before. If he puts two decent performances together, his value like doubles because he mm-hmm. plays for Arsenal.
Well, you know what I find interesting is everybody's so up in arms about all we're buying is this. That's
all we ever do in January.
But it's a kid.
Yeah.
It's not for today.
No, it's not.
No.
Fucking problem is that we know we need for today, and then we're signing a fucking kid. It's great to sign kids, but people want to see what's going to make us good now, and that's what we're not doing.
Then stop focusing on it. Just be like, yeah, we signed a kid. Stop having this whole fucking discussion on this kid who's not going to play in the first team.
I don't care about the kid. Right. Let me argue and bitch about the fact that we haven't signed our senior defender yet because this is the January window. Today is January motherfucking 15th, and I'm sorry. We're happy this window.
Halfway.
There is not a good excuse as to why, when we're this short on fucking defenders, there's not one signed yet.
Hey, I've been calling – in fact, I called for a defender instead of Draxler last year because the center back is where we needed it last season because we were in the middle of a great season by Koscielny and Mertesacker and would not play.
But we had Vermaelen and Sagan,
We did not have Vermaelen because he would not pick him.
Right, because he wouldn't pick him. But he was still fit.
And he was mostly injured as well.
No, but he wasn't injured. He wasn't injured.
He wasn't available to the manager because he would not play him.
What do you mean he would not play him?
He would not play him.
He did. He did make the bench for many games.
No, he didn't. How many appearances did he have in the second part of last season?
Not many, but look, he was in the squad.
One?
He was on the bench. Look, whether I got picked, that's one thing. He was available.
He was not available. The manager didn't see him as an option.
What do you mean he didn't see him as an option? He just fucking overplayed the partnership he had because it was working.
Because he had – you're telling me that if Vermaelen was trusted in that defense last year, he would not have picked
I'm
up another –
I'm saying he was fit. I'm saying he was fit and ready to play. What, listen, how you think he fits into tactics, that's another thing.
No, it's not about tactics. It's about selection. This is no different than
– if Mertesacker or Koscielny had gone down with an injury, he would have come into play.
That is
– which he did. He did, Joseph.
If he had
been injured, he would have come in. He was the option that was on the bench. He was the next one on the depth chart. There's nothing to say that he wouldn't have been the guy that would have come into play if they hadn't been fucking in, if they had fucking been injured.
My point was is that he didn't see Vermaelen as his real third option. He was his last resort.
No, he didn't. He was ahead of Sagna at center back. Whenever he was fit and ready, he played ahead of Sagna at center back.
Well, because Sagna's a right back.
Right, of course. He was our only other option, so of course he was the fucking option. He was. I mean, I don't see how you can argue around that. I mean,
I'm going to argue that all day because he wasn't an option for him. It's not who he wanted. He didn't trust him anymore. He hadn't trusted him for over a year.
Not his first choice pairing, but I'm telling you, if what had happened right now, if Vermaelen was still here and he was fit, he would have played ahead of these other motherfuckers because it's where he was in the depth chart. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If he had another center back that he wanted.
No, you're right.
He would not have rotated. But we didn't have
anybody else. If we had signed another center back,
which was my point, I would have agreed with you. He needed to sign us since last year was my point.
I agree, but he didn't get. He'd have to pay for it last year. He'd have to pay for it last year because he got by with playing his other players. And Vermaelen was actually pretty fucking unlucky because last season was amongst this, one of the seasons in terms of recent years that we've had the least amount of center back rotation ever. When can you remember that our first choice center back pairing played as much as last season?
None, because he didn't trust him either.
But he overplayed him because they were our best fucking center back pairing. Enough. Whatever. We'll move on from that shit. Vermaelen was not first choice. We agree on this.
He's not even third choice.
He was third choice.
No, he wasn't.
Who was third choice?
Nobody was third choice. That's why they overplayed the two.
There's always a third choice. Someone has to be third choice. Just the way Monreal is our next fucking choice after goddamn Chambers. You know what I mean? And then Debuchy. And then whoever the fuck else. Like, there's always a choice at some point.
If Joseph's argument is that we needed it last year, we beyond need it this year.
All right, so gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a question because right now there are four players on the depth chart for Arsenal who are fit to play right back. Four. I say four motherfucking players.
What?
Now tell me who they are.
Who are you?
Flamini?
Four players?
Thank you, Joseph. Now give me one through four as to who is fit right now.
Who's fit right now? So I guess
Chambers.
Okay. Bellerin. You have Flamini and Monreal could shift to the right, Coquelin. Probably.
Coquelin played right
too,
back.
I forgot. But he's played, I think, yeah, he could cover there.
Yep.
Ramsey played right back a few times last season.
Yeah. I think in all honesty, you have four options at right back, which is terrible because you don't want – look, Flamini has played fullback for us on both sides before. Coquelin has played right back primarily for us, and he played left back for us in a spot in the beginning of the season. His only other appearance for us. Before his spot in the midfield. So technically, we're four deep at right back with the emerging things to consider. Yeah, suck that, City.
Depth. That's depth.
Four right deep, homie.
Well, that's why like I've been hearing arguments about how we need a right back so much. I'm kind of like, yeah, but I mean, if you really do trust in these understudies, you got to play these guys for now.
I love the constant, every time there's something, we should call back Jenkinson. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Is Kalina leading this charge? I don't think she is, actually, to be honest. Be fair to her. She's not. I know she loves
it. No. I saw it all over my timeline this week, honestly.
No, of course.
It's just so ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's stupid fuckers out there.
It's like if the loan wasn't a good idea. It's exactly what he needed.
Yeah, he's playing as a first-choice right back week in, week out.
Right.
Like, what he needs now is to come back in preseason next season and win a spot in the squad, which is great for right now. Compish for right back next season is going to be fucking bananas because we do have four right backs coming in. You know, maybe that'll shift with with Chambers maybe moving to defensive midfield deputy and center back, you know, because it really seems long term. Do you guys think that long term Chambers should be through the middle? Because it seems like no. His pace might get exposed on the wing.
That's why I think he's a center back. I think
that's what I'm saying. That's what I said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I misheard. But yeah, I think he's a right sided center back.
Yes, absolutely. That's where he shows the most composure, control of the ball, vision of the field.
Right, you talk about
right wing, right back is, 75% of the job is pace.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, little to none. So.
And you have guys like Bellerin, right, who have
a ton. Know. And that helped. I mean, he might not have – he has technique and pace. He might not have a lot of good – he's not very good at positioning.
Yeah, his positioning still needs a lot of time.
And his
strength
– his strength is very low, but he's fast and he's got technique, and those two carry him in most games.
And he looks like he's a decent base too. You know, he likes to take a lot of pictures with his shirt off and shit. He looks like he's got
the worst tattoos of a footballer. And then
yeah, he does have. He looks like he could play for the Chargers. No, you're right. Him. He looks like he could play for the San Diego Chargers. Don't talk to me. You guys think you have a bunch of players with trash ass tattoos?
No.
Every team
the
has
Raiders
trash ass tattoos.
The fucking Raiders have prison tattoos. There's nothing worse than
fuck, son. That's gangster.
Well,
fuck.
Look at Bellerin and tell me he's fucking gangster.
No, yeah, he's got some trash ass shit. He's got a little pretty boy Spanish haircut too.
He was the leader in West Side Story, one of the dance gangs in West Side Story, but not
right,
in any
course,
gang I've ever
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, he's gonna walk in like skipping and dancing and snapping his fingers, right? Because he walks into a scene. I don't have any time for that shit. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. So we're
pretty deep at right back.
We are. We're really deep at right back. We're going to potentially have four players at right back when the next season begins. But so as it stands right now, who do you guys start at right back this next week?
Jesus.
Joseph, come on. Pick one.
Bellerin,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Luis?
Saying this, but Chambers.
Chambers.
Mostly because City.
Who are they going to put on the left?
I'm going to say City's not going to play with somebody. I mean, as far as speed goes, they're going to go with Navas on the right. That's their speed guy. And if Gibbs is fit, correct?
No, I think he has
Gibbs,
a test.
Gibbs, look, we have Gibbs as a question. Alexis. No, not Alexis. The fuck's his name? Danny Welbeck is a question.
Danny's going to make it.
I don't think so either. They're both fitness tests. I expect Monreal to start on the left.
Okay.
Tim Stillman wrote something interesting about that today because he was talking about how, you know, Arsene likes to favor having one fullback that sits in and one that roams. And so with the current situation, with Monreal playing in, as we know, who's a little bit better in terms of holding back and not rampaging down the wing the same way that Gibbs does, that you might be more inclined to play something like Bellerin, so you have that one pace even that's going to fly up and down the flanks. Whether that really translates and if that's going to supersede the depth chart, because we know that Chambers is ahead of him. The reason Bellerin came in that last match is because Chambers got left out of the squad, expecting the fact he wasn't going to have to play because, you know, Debushi started because he was sick. So as far as the depth chart goes, I expect to see Chambers play because he is ahead of Bellerin as it stands. And I think pace-wise, if they were opposite wings, if you had Jesus Navas on the left wing, I would change my plan. I would play fucking Bellerin because Jesus Navas is too fucking fast. I don't think Nasri's going to be – Nasri's tricky as fuck, and he's a little – bucktooth bastard.
You know,
but
Chambers
he's not too
to
fast
get
for Chambers.
Like a top, but
I don't think Nasri's going to smoke him for pace.
Yeah, I think Bellerin would have the same issue, just experience wise, that Nasri would turn him too. So
right, I agree.
Yeah,
yeah,
and with tricky players like that, you want to, if you're defending them on the wing, your goal is to push them kind of deep, like closer to the byline, as ineffective as they can from cutting in. So Chambers, I think, would be better suited for that, considering he's much bigger than Nasri. And Bellerin, I mean, I don't think he'd muscle a fly off the ball. So,
you know, I don't think he's that flimsy.
That's why I go with Chambers.
I don't think he's that flimsy. I think he's pretty solid.
No, but he's not gonna win any physical battles.
Yeah, but Nasri's pretty fat in the ass. You know,
he's
pretty good.
He's got a solid base.
you know, he's pretty good at spinning people off with that big old ass of his.
Let's not pretend like we didn't think he was a pretty fucking solid player when he played for us. As much as I dislike the little,
that's what I wasn't criticizing. Right, but I wasn't criticizing really. He just uses his body really well.
Yeah. So you know he does his thing. I don't know. So we'll move on from there. So we have our picks. I expect, even though I have no problem with Bellerin starting at fullback, but I think it's going to be Chambers, and I'm okay with that decision. That's just the way the depth chart is, and that's how I expect it to go. So we've got there. Let's move on to the next position of contention. Well, left back, technically. It doesn't seem like it'll be a big thing.
No,
we can do a quick thing here, because it looks like, and here's the thing, even when Arsene has any kind of question like this, and there's an issue of someone coming back from fitness, he's got the easy excuse, because he just says, you know, Gibbs coming back, we'll leave Monreal for one more match. You know, and Monreal's been playing, and they've been executing relatively well that way. So I expect him to continue there. Anyone dispute that?
No, I just hope Monreal's better at going away, you know, than he was last year.
Yeah, and also we have worries with Navas. Navas is too fucking fast. Like, who do you want to really counter Navas's pace? If you give me the choice, I take Gibbs.
Yeah.
In that sense. Because I'm sorry, like, regardless of what else he gives you, Navas is fast as fuck, and Gibbs can keep up with him. We know Monreal can't. So
he's going to need help from whoever plays on that left side, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see how that goes. I expect it to be Monreal. You guys both think it'll be Monreal?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
I think you're right.
Okay. So let's move on to the other point of contention, defensive midfielder. And I think it's an interesting development, because there's been a huge change in the overall depth charts, the way we assess where people are at. It seems like almost the consensus now, not just the majority, not just an inkling, but of people who believe that Coquelin has jumped Flamini in the depth chart at defensive midfield. Do you guys agree with that? Joseph, start with you.
No.
No.
I mean, I think against certain teams, yeah, I think against Stoke, he's a great call, but I think against City, we're going to need a little bit more experience, so I would put Flamini ahead.
Okay, all right.
Either that, or you're going to use them both. I mean,
that's always a possibility.
Let's pretend, first
and foremost, if there's only one defensive midfielder against City, will it be?
I put Flamini.
Flamini.
Yeah.
All right, Luis.
I'd say I would err on the side of Flamini, but if you want anything from
air.
That midfield, what?
I said, fuck your air.
If you want anything from that midfield, as far as distribution, I would put in Lecoq, because I'm not expecting us to win the midfield battle. I'm not.
What does Flamini give us that Coquelin doesn't do?
It's just a bruiser, basically, like a wrecking ball just swinging back and forth in front of your back four. I mean, it could hit, and it's going to hit hard, but it could miss very badly, and it's open season on Pear and Koscielny. So I think you roll the dice either way, but technique-wise, and if you want anything as far as distribution and maybe a little bit of a spark, I'd say Coquelin.
How about you?
I think Coquelin's, you know, I think he's earned the right now, and I really believe that Arsene's going to follow the hot hand. You know, ride the hot hand, and the fact that, like, Flumi has been coming back into fitness – I mean, the only way...
The cock
is hot. The cock is hot. So the only way I see Flamini coming in... The only way I see Flamini coming to the team...
Before we go any further, we need to have a solid, like, minute, just 1 minute of cock jokes. Like, and well, we won't say outside of that minute...
You just got to have to work them in where they fit.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, put the cock wherever it fits.
See, thank you.
What if it doesn't fit though? Like,
well, then
shove it in there.
That's a whole other dilemma.
What if Lecoq is hurt? Well, do you still play with Lecoq in there in the middle?
Beat it into submission, or at least wake it up, right?
But what if Lecoq is hurt?
Well, he's not at the moment, right? As far as I see, he's vibrant and full of strength.
It's feeling good?
Yeah.
Lecoq is feeling good? Okay.
So it seems.
I think he's feeling hard. I think he's feeling real hard.
But so what I see with that is that we see him coming in and doing a job. I don't know where we can really rate Flamini doing a better job than he has, right? Can he
Nothing
be more vibrant?
Than
can he be more – I mean, you know, does he offer more length? What does he do?
Well, I believe
height wise they're listed the same. Maybe it's a girth.
Yeah,
issue.
They're
maybe
about
it's a girth
same,
issue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Cock is bigger girthy. Girthy wise, he's a little bigger.
Yeah, he's a little more agile.
He gives
too.
Us. He look. He does give us more agility.
He's not as tenacious, but
no,
I
think he is just as tenacious.
He's a shy.
He's just as tenacious.
Shy cock sometimes.
Coquelin doesn't give a fuck. He goes straight into those challenges, man.
I think
tenacity is one of his biggest attributes, and I think he does it better because he's a more accurate tackler than Flamini.
Absolutely. That's exactly where I was going to go, too. People laud Flamini's, for lack of a better word, recklessness going into tackles. He's not scared to, go
his
hard.
His timing is shit.
But, yeah, his timing is crap. And 50% of the time, he doesn't win the ball.
So, I love how he said cock about 12 times, and you said crap instead of shit right there. That's funny.
Yeah, totally crappy, dude. We're
a family program here on the Morning Pint.
This is the Pinecast is for your children.
Yeah. What the? But yeah, I mean, in the Stoke game and in the few other games, previous games he's played, Coquelin's shown he can tackle just as hard and stupidly as Flamini
can.
And he could probably go longer than 60 minutes running at full speed.
Ladies, I'm looking at you.
He can go longer than 60 minutes, cock.
Yo, that's endurance. That's why you get with a footballer.
That's that longevity you were talking about.
Damn straight. So as long as the cock is long and hard, we'll be okay. We have to move on to the forward positions on the pitch, because I think it looks like more than likely Coquelin will start. It could be between him and Flamini. Do you think that Joseph? Do you think that Ramsey's going to come straight back in, or is Brzezinski going to hold his place? What are we going to do with that kind of box to box role? Because I feel my sentiment, just to throw mine out there from the start, is that Ramsey's been kind of ready, but we've been saving him, and that he would likely start against Man City here, after, giving him an additional week of training and rest to be ready to go for that match. What do you think is going to happen in that position?
Well, I think Wenger's going to be conservative I don't think Rosicky loses his place. But I'm thinking that it might be
the Flamcock.
The Flamcock.
Oh no!
And then you change it up depending on it, how you are going in the 75th minute. How it's going?
Like, I don't doubt it. It just makes me sick to think about it.
I realize that, but
it goes along with what I predicted for the game.
The same way every time when you predict shit, it makes me sick because I think it's true.
I think he's just afraid of it getting away from us. You know what I mean?
Fuck that. Yeah. Yes, but God damn it.
No, we don't want to see another 6-2 or 6-3 or whatever. So, I mean, if it's at the sack, and what I actually had written down for this game is if with Alexis, Giroud, and Ox in the front three, which is most likely, he's not going to risk
Ozil. I agree with that front three. Do you
agree
that's
what I
three?
Have too.
Okay.
That's what I have.
Okay, just throw that across the board.
And so with that, you're not going to win the midfield battle, so you're, going to kind of
why that's the front three. Why won't that win the midfield battle? It's not the front midfield three.
So who are they going to play in the midfield? Because
Fernando
and Fernandinho. Fernando
four players
and Fernandinho,
right there.
The double pivot.
They count for like four players. They're ridiculous.
That's a really solid double pivot. We're going to counter that with either
Flamini
and Coquelin, which doesn't sound good, or Coquelin and Ramsey.
Right.
Which I think if it performs to its best.
I like that a little better, yeah.
I think if that performs to its best, it could beat that other midfield. But like, how can we expect Rams like works? That's if Ramsey's on like Ramsey's best form, which is where he's like a Premier League player of the season. You know, he's this is his first match back. We can't expect that. Can we? Can
yeah,
we?
Yeah, and
hope?
Even if it wasn't,
sure.
Yeah.
So for us, we're assuming Santi's ahead of them in front of them, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Who's ahead of Fernandinho and Fernando for them?
Silva.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yaya's gone.
Oh,
Yaya's normally one of the two. Once in a while, they play him in front of him if they're playing a really weird formation.
Well, it might even work to their favor because constantly having to include him kind of eliminates one possibility. They're so likely, it might actually work for them.
Well, it
might actually work in their favor.
Silva's likely to play up front. So they generally play a 4-2-3-1. What we're expecting to see, they played Demichelis and Mangala last game. I would love if that was a center back pairing for us, but I think they were waiting. They rested Kompany to be ready to play against us. So it'll probably be Kompany and Demichelis, I think. So you have to try to use our pace against Demichelis. Find a way to get fucking Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain or Alexis Sanchez against him to utilize that. But they're gonna have Kompany back in. They're gonna have a middle pivot of Fernando and Fernandinho. With David Silva in front of it, playing the number 10, who's been in his best form. You know, he's been as good as he was when he first came to the league and lit it up. You know, he had a down spell and he wasn't that great, but he's on top form right now, so that's not good for us. Right now, what they've been starting with has been Nasri out left and Navas out right, which is pretty fucking efficient with one central striker. It's been Jovetic the last couple matches. You know, they've Aguero's been back for the last two matches, apparently, from the bench. So, but I think they've been saving him. So, of course, he's going to start against us because he always starts and scores against Arsenal. So, just a little forewarning. There will not be a nil on either side of my prediction. Heads up. because Kun Aguero will always score on us. So, I expect if there's any way we're going to win, we have to score more than one goal. So I expect Kun Aguero to start. You know, they've just signed Wilfred Bony, so he's going to be on the bench. Jovetic has been AFCON. Starting. What was that?
Isn't he gone for the AFCON as well?
Yeah.
Bony's already gone?
Yeah, he should be. He should be.
Okay. Yeah, he's been in the middle of completing his deal. He's been still been doing all that shit. Right? And they just announced it officially today that Bony's a City player now. So, yeah, so he's at AFCON with Ivory Coast. So he's there with Yaya. So that's good. We don't have to worry about him. I mean, I didn't expect him to play anyway.
We got this, guys.
No. They have Aguero. They have Aguero, who's probably going to start, and they have fucking Jovetic, who we all know is a great player. We would have loved to have him come to us last season. But you know, he can play. Like he's not nearly as clinical. You know, I'd much rather face this team with Jovetic than with Aguero. Wouldn't you all?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
All day. Yeah.
All day. I mean, look, we all know Jovetic has a lot of great moves in him, but we know a lot of the strikers don't have it in them with the consistency that Aguero does.
Aguero's a killer.
Aguero is a cold-blooded killer. At one point, I put him on the same level as Falcao, you know, but he has surpassed Falcao by far in terms of the way he's been able to do it consistently year after year. I mean, that guy is a fucking assassin, right?
Yeah.
Running onto balls at full pace, and he hits it first time every time, and he buries him in the corner.
Yeah,
especially against us.
He's pretty brilliant, that guy.
But you know, the thing is, he's a mortal man because his hamstrings and groins are apparently are human because he keeps fucking those up. So you know, I don't know. I mean, look, I love Aguero. I really wish he didn't play for City. I mean, it's better City than United or Chelsea, to be honest. But it's rough to see him there because I really love watching him play, but just not against us because he destroys us. He's like the new Drogba against Arsenal. You know what I mean? It's just nasty. He's just really good. So he handles it. Gentlemen.
No doubt.
So are there any more – are there any of the spots that you feel come under any
duress?
Keeper. Goalkeeper.
All right. Interesting.
Joseph, lay your case.
Well, you know –
spit it out.
I think Espina keeps his place another week.
Ooh.
Okay, moving on.
Because you can't really, I mean, what's the justification that the punishment's just over? Because that's the only real justification,
true,
right?
True,
to drop
true
him. Because he didn't do anything wrong.
True that. Okay.
I'm going to make mine based on what his what he's done in the past for players who've been caught smoking. So I say Chesney takes his position back as the number one. Ospina did what was required of him during the Stoke match.
But there wasn't
and
much.
I think which it wasn't much. I think what was the other game he came in at Galatasaray or Anderlecht in the Champions League when he came in and made a really great save. So he's done what's been asked of him. He hasn't shown that physical dominance of his area or just athleticism that we get from Chesney. And just based on experience, I say Chesney takes his place back in the team.
I still rate Chesney higher than Ospina, and for similar reasons to what you have said, Luis. You know, I think Ospina's been done okay, but like you're right, it's about like you know, there's a lot of things to factor in. It's how you can show that you can command a box, and like even though he hasn't looked like he's bad at commanding a box, we haven't been proven like he hasn't shown, you know, in a big demonstration about how he can command a box and the way he can own it
mm-hmm.
in the same way. And you know, we've just come off the back of you know a Chesney performance against West Ham where he fucking dominated the box the way you need a keeper to be, you know. And it's hard to find. There are not many keepers who can do that in the league. Like, name the keepers that can do that kind of thing and command a box in the league. Granted, a couple of them are backups because they're that fucking good. But I guess Joe Hart, Fraser Forster, you know, De Gea, Chesney, like guys who can come out and like own that.
Courtois and Cech.
And Victor Valdez, who's now the fucking backup at United.
Mignolet? Oh, wait. Never mind.
And there's probably a few others. I think Guzan does a decent job of it. Like Guzan,
he has a lot of practice. The thing about Guzan,
he fucking does
all day. That guy does. He's more exhausted than a fucking right back. That guy.
Yeah, but so it's interesting because I think Guzan's more the same size as Ospina. You know, he's not that tall, but I feel like he commands a box much better. Well, I can't say much better. We haven't seen enough. I haven't seen anything to say that Ospina can't do it. It just – I haven't seen anything super convincing in terms of watching it. So anyways, guys, we got to wrap this thing up. Let's get some score predictions from you. Joseph, give me your score prediction for the weekend against Manchester City.
You're going up north, right?
I'm going to San Francisco.
We're going to win 2-1.
All right. I'm traveling north for victory apparently.
Yeah, and Alexis is going to score – Chamberlain's going to get the winner.
Whoa, that's pretty. You're setting up a dream day for me.
It's a dream day for me too.
Well, a dream day for everybody. But actually, that's one. Actually, one thing. Let's get our score predictions. I almost forgot something, but it's okay. We can move on. Luis, what's your score prediction?
I'm going 3-2 to the Arsenal.
3-2 to the Arsenal.
Yes,
I like it.
We're 2-2. Theo Walcott comes on.
Oh, I will lose 70, my nut.
we 75th know. We minute. Know. He gets another chance at that shot that he missed against Stoke, but this time you know the result.
He rounds the keeper for once?
No. That won't happen. No, he'd probably fuck it up. He'd probably fuck it up if he did that.
That's the thing about Joe Hart. Once it's one-on-one, you know, there's only one thing that's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm gonna actually agree with Joseph and go 2-1 to the Arsenal, which I don't know if I'm stupid being this way. But I know – look, it's certainly fair to believe that Arsenal have a fucking perfectly valid chance of winning this match. We have a perfectly potent attack. You know, if our defense can work together and if we can get – like there's a lot of intangibles. Like, we have to get all these things to fucking work together. But if we can get our defense to work well, if Coquelin has a great game and fucking Ramsey or whoever fucking Flamme who plays beside him does it well and we're organized at the back.
And look at those options off the bench.
With the talent we have. And then, your options – our first three options off the bench. Let's say Ramsey starts. Let's pretend Ramsey starts. You know, our options off the bench are Walcott and Ozil and who else?
Rosicky.
Campbell. Who else? I mean, Welbeck's probably not going to be fit, but Welbeck could be on the bench.
Well, you got to have a defender too.
I'm saying he could be. The defender is going to be the only defender that's going to be on the bench is the other fullback that doesn't play. It's going to be Bellerin or Chambers.
Yeah.
right? That's what else is going to be. Gibbs if he's fit. Gibbs if he's fit enough to be on the bench, right? Depending on how many attackers he wants.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be whichever goalkeeper doesn't play. On the goalkeeper status, I would be okay. Look, I'm okay with either way. I know the way Wenger works, so I kind of expect him to leave it to Ospina so he can make it look like it's a form thing. And you know, I mean, look, let's say Ospina gets we win on Sunday and Ospina gets a fucking clean sheet and he comes up with some big fucking saves. Like all of a sudden there's a number one controversy on. It's not on yet. It's not on yet.
No.
He has to do it. But I mean, honestly, you beat City, you know, Arsenal haven't beaten any of these big teams away in forever. If he could come up with a huge performance, this is the perfect opportunity for him to give his chance. It would not surprise me at all. I expect Arsene to leave Ospina in for this match. I really do.
Wow.
I really do. And I rate Chesney more. And if you gave me the chance, I would start Chesney. But I expect Arsene to start Ospina, and I'm okay with it. I understand what he's doing competition-wise. Like, if we fucking lose something because of something I think Chesney's going to be better than, I'm going to be really mad watching the match. I'd be really fucking angry. But, you know, like, look, Ospina's a good fucking keeper. He's not, like, we have had shaky fucking keepers as backups in the past. But, like, look, Ospina's played in a fucking World Cup under immense scrutiny. You know, you remember what happened the last time there were expectations on Colombia in a World Cup?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you got to have some fucking balls to be able to put up with that shit. Like, that can't be out of your mind when you're doing this kind of stuff, you know? And this guy was one of the heroes of the World Cup for them. This guy's a legitimate performer. I think he could come out and do a really good job. Do I think he's going to – even if he does a better job, is he going to be better than Chesney or deserve the number one? I don't necessarily think that. But, you know, I think he's going to get his chance from Arsene because of that. Even though,
well, one thing's for sure, it's going to be a huge statement on Arsene's part if he does go with Ospina. I mean, it really does speak volumes.
He tends to be the kind of the guy that gives someone a chance and the guy grabs it. It's the same reason why I think Coquelin's going to continue to start. Because Coquelin's
in a game
well.
Like this, though?
Yeah, I absolutely think Coquelin will start over.
City away?
Because it's going to be a slightly unchanged team. Like, our team has looked better in the past couple matches than who's been playing.
I think Ospina's going to start. And then Chesney will come back for the FA Cup match.
Right.
And that's he'll transition him back into the team.
Well, it depends. It depends on how this match goes, for one, and how Chesney does in that FA Cup match, the two of them combined. You know, if Ospina has an average performance or anything worse, it'll be easy for Chesney to come back in and claim his spot. If, you know, if Arsenal win by whatever way, as long as Ospina doesn't look like an idiot, if Arsenal win, he's going to be hard pressed when it comes back to the next game after the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Look, I like Chesney. That's who I think. But I honestly, like, I'm all for this competition. I want to see the best player in goal play for Arsenal. I currently still think Chesney is the better goalkeeper of the two. But, you know, like, I haven't seen enough of Ospina. So, I would love to watch him prove me otherwise. So let the best man win, and then let the winners be Arsenal and Arsenal's fans. So fucking be it. I'm going to go with the 2-1. 2-1 to the Arsenal. Alexis and Theo. Theo. A guy who I was about to question to you, Joseph, because I'm wondering, because there's an interesting paradigm working between Theo and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, because they both give us two separate, you know, traits and particular skills. One, Theo is the better finisher, right?
By far.
They both have pace. But Theo is the better finisher by far. In form. He didn't show this last week.
Yeah, I mean, he's in form, absolutely.
But here's the thing. So who's, like, I'm going to side with you on this, I believe. But who's going to find his shot first right now? Is it going to be Theo or is it going to be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
I think Chamberlain will find it first.
First? Just before Theo?
Yeah. Theo's.
That's dangerous, though, because honestly, that's one of the big perks, because there's a lot of things, like, as good as Theo is with his runs and his speed and all that, he doesn't have the tricks. He doesn't beat guys one-on-one the way Chamberlain does. Like,
right. Well, he runs in behind. Yeah.
What's interesting to me is that what I feel like when Chamberlain develops the finishing aspect, he's going to be a better overall product than Walcott.
I don't think he's ever going to be. as good a finisher as Walcott. Because that's not his natural role. He doesn't need to be a good finisher to be effective.
Yeah,
because he does so many other things.
True, but that's what can make him world class if he can do that. Like that's a nice thing to have.
But it's to be an effective player.
Honestly, I've rated Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain as the best player since Wayne Rooney for England, and I don't think he's a better player on England than Wayne Rooney right now still. And I think Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain could be that guy. What's interesting to me is what's more important for Arsenal and England together is that like there's another English player who we've put really high stakes on and have expected big things from, and that's Jack Wilshere. But the problem is, when has he been fit?
He hasn't.
Right. No. And it looks like, honestly, the guy who could, let's say, eventually force Jack Wilshere out of the club at Arsenal could be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, because I think No, he is the bigger England talent than Jack Wilshere. Now, who's going to find his finishing boots first? Jack Wilshere, who still can't shoot, or Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who still can't shoot? I mean, like who's going to – because that's the big step, right? That's what we saw. That's what made Ramsey kind of turn into the better guy. We saw him playing a bunch of stuff. We saw all of a sudden learn some finishing in the past, like, 18 months, and that makes a big difference, you know, adding that finished product. Like, who's going to find it first out of those two? Because both those players, Wilshere and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, are dying to find that finishing product to make that jump to the next class in terms of player.
Well, I'd say both of them have time on their side. So
they're both
the
young.
Good thing for Arsenal and England is that they both have time on their side, and they're both going to be incredible players.
They're both going to be – well, where are they going to both play on the same team at Arsenal?
Jack Wilshere and Alex Chamberlain?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be able to? Jack Wilshere –
Where are they going to play? No, I'm just put them in position. Where are they going to play? Include Theo also.
Include Theo. Let me see. Well, Jack has to play the deeper role, like the one he's played for England in the last – two matches he's played for them.
He's going to be Arsenal's holding midfielder?
No, that's not what he plays for England. He doesn't play the holding midfielder role.
He plays the base of the diamond, in effect.
That's not where I saw him play for England. And where he played for England was kind of next to Gerrard, playing.
Where's he going to play that at Arsenal? Instead of Ramsey?
Everybody
healthy. Instead of Ramsey at... The box.
You're not gonna convince me that Jack Wilshere is not gonna be a world class player for Arsenal. That's not gonna happen. He's like my favorite Arsenal player.
Well, look, that's all great and grand. I love Jack Wilshere. I'd love him to succeed, but I'm just asking, do you expect him to take Ramsey's place in the midfield?
They don't play the same position. They've played together though, and that's
they kind of do. I mean, if we have we have an attacking midfielder, we have a box to box midfielder and a defensive midfielder, right? Is that the way our midfield three goes?
Yeah, so to speak.
We can get that consensus across the board, okay? So the number 10 right now is being occupied by Cazorla. He's in a battle between him and Ozil because that's Ozil's favorite position, and that's where Cazorla's playing. That's where those two operate. Wilshere's played a little bit of that as well, but you got to think he's third on that depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the box-to-box midfield position where Ramsey's been first choice, and that's where he became, you know, Premier League top-class caliber for a while at least as the box-to-box midfielder. And you have defensive midfielder. So Jack's got to play either that he's kind of our second option right now at that box-to-box behind Ramsey.
Absolutely. And one thing Arsene is like okay with doing is putting various players in there who don't really have a clear position and just kind of letting them figure it out on the field.
Well, he likes to pick his first 11. And Joseph and I have talked about this a lot because he likes to pick his players, right?
Right.
And he's going to fit them in wherever the fuck they fit in, right?
Right.
That's when we've seen
Ramsey
and Wilshere
the
on the wing, all this kind of bullshit.
Yes.
No. These are my best 11 players right now because of fitness and shit like that. Like, we're going to make them fit one way or another because this is who I want. This is who I want in my team. And it hasn't always worked. So
it didn't work
when Jack and Ox are both fit, I guess those questions will be answered. Yeah. If that ever
yeah,
comes to be.
Well, guys, it's been a wonderful time. We've chatted for a long, long time, and it's been fantastic. But we're going to have to end it here. It's been a pleasure. You can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow Luis at SDGoon.
Holla.
And you can follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club. I'm Morning Pint. You can also find me at Maggie McGarry's this Sunday in San Francisco. I'll be out there with the Bay Area Gooners, with Ars to Mouse, Blow Sob, Sean Swaby, and all the rest of them motherfuckers.
Sounds
all
dirty.
All them.
Ars to Mouse.
Ars to Mouse and Blow Sob. There's all sorts of good stuff going on. Wow. Maybe even Bay Area Grimbo. I don't know.
In
whoever
Frisco,
else could
too?
Be. In
Dang,
Frisco,
see.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make it all. Woo. We'll make the meetup in the Castro. I don't know. I'll be in Palo Alto, but I'll be in the city for
Watch
city for Saturday
night. Tenderloin.
So for those of you, yeah, those of you freelancing there, you can
ain't
find
nothing
me.
Tender
I'll,
about
I'll be,
that.
I'll be roaming the streets. Shh. But you know, but take them seriously though. Take them serious for sure. And I'll be there Saturday night in the city of San Francisco. I'll be hanging out with my old homie Sean Swaby, the editor of Bleacher Report, former Gaucho, ex roommate of mine. Hanging out in the city that night, and then also at the pub in the morning to catch all you fine fellows as Arsenal record a historic victory over Manchester City 2-1, as I think Joseph and I predicted.
Yes,
and that'll be fantastic. And so up the Arsenal, let's see it happen, and we'll catch you guys later. All right, thanks guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Jones for this, Jones for that. This running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at. You're gonna come back around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty Lord down. Got you thinking like that.